I'm here today to do something that I have to be honest with you that I never in a million years thought I would ever do. I am here today to speak out against passion. You heard me right. Against passion. And I know it sounds very strange and weird, but I want you to stay with me on this because I really believe that what I have to say here today may bring a measure of comfort specifically to some of you in particular, and I'm hoping it really will. But I have to back up for a minute and just say to come clean that I'm the least likely person in the world ever to have become a committed anti-passion spokeswoman. The fact is that I have led my entire life guided by passion, particularly in regard to my work as a writer, which is a vocation that I have been chasing my entire life with a love that you could call obsessive. I can barely even remember a time before I knew that I was going to be a writer, that I had to be a writer, that I needed to be a writer, I was going to be a writer no matter what it took. I was probably like 5 or 6. I was a book-loving child, and I remember I pieced it together at last that books do not just magically appear out of the ether, but that people make them. They create them from their imaginations, and that kind of a person who does that is called a writer. And once I had that piece of information, that was it. My destiny from that point forward was sealed. I made my decision, and I have never veered from that passion since. And I have to be very honest with you because it would be disingenuous of me to claim anything else. Passion has worked for me. Passion was the thing that kept me writing in the lean early years before anybody else except me cared about what I was doing. For a long time, I made a living as a diner waitress and a bartender, and passion was the thing that made me come home from those long shifts smelling like other people's French fries, you know, with really sore feet, a really long day of work, and then I would take off my shoes and sit down and go to my real work. And the real work was writing. And I did that day after day, year after year, even when I was getting nothing out of it except for rejection letter after rejection letter after rejection letter. But I didn't care. I mean, I didn't love it. Nobody loves being rejected. But passion, my passion for writing was so big that it made me stay in the game, even through all the obstacles. And then finally, I got lucky enough to become a published writer. And then in 2006, I got really lucky. I wrote this book called Eat, Pray, Love, and it became really successful, much to my surprise. And as soon as that happened, as soon as I became successful, this started to happen, right? People started to put a microphone in my hand, and they would send me up on a stage, and they would ask me to stand there and speak about how I had gotten here and what I had learned. And so, of course, the minute I had the opportunity to speak in public about the thing I cared about and believed in the most, what did I talk about? Passion. Like, what else would it have been? There was no other subject, as far as I was concerned. Passion to me was the everything. It was the beginning and the end, the alpha and the omega, the one true path and the only way forward. And so in audiences across the world, I would just stand there on stage and I would say some variation of this night after night. I would say, you know what you all have to do? Every single one of you. You have to identify your passion. You have to identify that tower of flame within you that will be your guiding, purposeful light, and you have to find that thing that makes you feel like your head is on fire, that makes you feel like there's a soul revolution going on deep inside your rib cage, that makes you feel like you would sacrifice and risk everything for that thing, that nothing else matters, that thing that you know you were born to do. And then you have to get every molecule of your being and you've got to funnel it directly and powerfully into that thing, that one thing, and no other thing. And you got to focus on that forever. And that way, and only that way, will you succeed. I'd be up there on stage and I'd be quoting Vince Lombardi and I'd be quoting Winston Churchill and I'd be quoting Eleanor Roosevelt and I'd be quoting Jonathan Livingston freaking Seagull and I'd be telling people that if you can dream it, you can be it and you gotta jump so the net will catch you and what would you do if you knew you could not fail? And you guys, you know all the bumper stickers. You probably have them on your car, right? We all know these slogans, but I did it with enormous sincerity because I really believed it and I believed that I was doing a public service by telling people that they had to live their lives exactly the same way that I had always lived mine. I preached that because that was my fundamental truth. That was my certainty. And then something happened. I was in Australia. I was on a speaking tour. I was giving a speech in front of an audience. I was doing my thing. I was doing my passion dog and pony show and my passion like tent revival thing that I do. And I thought it went really well and that the audience had been responsive and I felt satisfied. And I went back to my hotel room that night and I was like, good job, Liz. you helped those people. And I crawled into bed and ordered up some room service. And just to pass the time, I started scrolling through my Facebook page. And that's when I saw that somebody had written me a letter, a really long, an exceptionally long letter on my wall of my Facebook page. And it was from a woman, an Australian woman, who had been in the audience that night. And as I say, it was a long letter. So I'm just going to paraphrase it here and tell you, in essence, what she had to say to me. But basically, it was this. She said, "Hey, Liz, just came from your speech. And I don't even really know why I'm doing this, but I just feel the need to let you know that I am sitting all alone in my bedroom right now, in the dark, with the door locked behind me. And because of what you said up there tonight on stage, I have never felt worse about myself than I feel at this moment." Wait, what? Like, that caught my attention, right? Sort of leaned into the letter. What is this? And she went on to say, "Because you, Liz Gilbert, just spent the last 2 hours up there on that stage saying exactly the same thing to me that people like you have been saying to people like me forever. You got to follow your passion, follow your passion, follow your passion. And it all sounds well and good, but I just have to tell you, because I don't know who else to tell and I've got to get this out, I don't have one. I don't have one. For the last time, I don't have one. And I think if I had one, I would know, because it sounds from the way you describe it like it's pretty freaking obvious. In fact, I would probably be the first one to know if I had one. And I don't have one. And I'm telling you, it is not for lack of searching. I have not been lazy in my life. I have been tearing myself apart for years, trying to find that thing that you people keep talking about, that one tower of flame that's going to be the guiding principle that I can organize my entire life around. And I'm telling you, it is not there. I don't have anything in my life that makes me feel like my head is on fire, like there's a soul revolution going on inside my rib cage. I don't have one thing that I feel like it would be safe to risk everything on and jump off the cliff for. I don't have it. The thing about me is that I'm kind of interested in a lot of stuff at the same time, and then I get into it, and then I realize I'm not really that interested in it, and then I get interested in something else, and my interests change by the season, and I almost feel like I can't always keep up with all the interests that I have, and I never really know what to commit to. And by this point in my life, the age that I'm at, I am starting to feel so deeply embarrassed about this because I feel like I should have this sorted out by now. I should know by now what my purpose is, what my passion is, and I don't know what it is, and I feel like a failure. And I'm starting to feel like a freak, like there's something really essential that's missing from my DNA. And no offense to you, Liz Gilbert, because you're probably a really nice person, and I'm sure you didn't mean to do it, but I came to hear you tonight seeking guidance, and you just made me feel like the biggest loser in the world. Not your problem, probably, anyway. Good night. Thanks." Whoa. So I went back, and I read it again, and I read it again, and I sat there for the longest time just staring at the wall. And then I thought, and I actually said it out loud, I said, "Oh my God, I'm a jerk." But I didn't use the word jerk. I used a much worse word that I'm not going to use. I'm a jerk. How many people have I done this to? How many times have I gone out in public rallying people, "Follow your passion, follow your passion, follow your passion," not recognizing that perhaps I was leaving some people behind, making them feel excluded, making them feel, God forbid, like failures, like losers, because they don't have that certainty, that thing that I've always had. See, the world is divided into two kinds of people. There are the jackhammers and there are the hummingbirds. Jackhammers are people like me. You know, you put a passion in our hands and we're just like, and we don't look up and we don't veer and we're focused on that till the end of time. And it's efficient. You get a lot done, but we tend to be obsessive and fundamentalist and sometimes a little difficult and loud. Hummingbirds spend their lives doing it very differently. They move from tree to tree, from flower to flower, from field to field, trying this, trying that. And two things happen. They create incredibly rich, complex lives for themselves. And they also end up cross-pollinating the world. That is the service that you do if you are a hummingbird person, because you bring an idea from here to over here where you learn something else and you weave it in and then you take it here to the next thing you do, so that your perspective ends up keeping the entire culture aerated and mixed up and open to the new and fresh. And if that is how you are constructed by your divine maker, then that is how we need you to be.